This is Optimal Finance Daily, episode 1917. What to look for when reading a mutual fund prospectus by Emily Guy Birkin with ptmoney.com. And I'm your host and personal finance enthusiast, Diana Merriam. Now let's get right to today's post and start optimizing your life. What to look for when reading a mutual fund prospectus by Emily Guy Birkin with ptmoney.com. The intimidation factor of choosing an investment vehicle can be one of the reasons why potential investors might feel more comfortable keeping their nest egg in their mattress. Not only does it seem as though the financial world speaks an entirely different language from the rest of us, but we also know that making a poor choice could be potentially very costly. However, even the greenest of investors in mutual funds have the same opportunities to understand their options and make good decisions as everyone else, thanks to the Securities and Exchange Commission's regulations on prospectuses and annual reports. A prospectus is a document that provides investors with information about the investments that make up the mutual fund, as well as other details of the company's business. All companies that file with the SEC are required to provide this information to investors and potential investors, and these documents give all investors the necessary knowledge to make good choices. But a prospectus and the Statement of Additional Information, or SAI, which will often accompany the prospectus, can read like stereo instructions in Greek. If you're looking to invest in a mutual fund, here is what you need to know about reading the important parts of the prospectus without tearing out your hair. Finding a mutual fund prospectus. Before you can read a prospectus, you'll need to know where to find them. This has gotten somewhat easier in the age of the internet. It used to be that you'd have to either contact the mutual fund company directly or ask your financial advisor to get you a copy of the prospectuses you were interested in. These days, you can obtain prospectuses online, either directly from the company's website, generally found within the Investor Relations section, or on the SEC's Electronic Data Gathering, Analysis, and Retrieval System, or EDGAR site. The EDGAR website allows you to search for specific companies' prospectuses and other filings. You'll encounter two types of prospectuses, statutory and summary. The statutory prospectus is the long-form traditional prospectus that most investors are familiar with. The summary prospectus, on the other hand, provides key information on the fund in 3 to 4 pages. While both types offer important information, you'll be able to get more detailed information from the statutory prospectus. It's always a good idea to also request or download the SAI, as it can provide additional insight into your investment. Investment strategy. The first stop in reading your prospectus is the information on the investment strategy. This is the first thing you want to check on, because if your personal investment strategies and objectives don't match those listed, it's time to move on to the next prospectus. Since every prospectus can be written a little differently, you may find this listed in the table of contents as risk/return, investment objectives, primary strategies, or primary risks. Under this section, you'll find a description of how investors' money will be allocated and what the risks are in buying the fund. If you're new to investing, the asset allocation descriptions and various risks may seem to go over your head. Not to worry. The site Investopedia offers an excellent dictionary of financial terms, and you should also feel free to call the fund company and ask for clarification. Never invest in something if you don't fully understand what's being done with your money. Looking at returns. If the mutual fund whose prospectus you're reading seems to line up with your objectives and your risk tolerance, it's time to turn to the section on investment returns. For most funds, this will be the easiest section of the prospectus to understand. You'll often see two tables, one that compares the returns of fund in question to the 1, 5, and 10-year returns of index funds, like the S&P 500, and one that shows the annual or quarterly returns for the past 10 or so years. The index comparison is important information to have, as it will give you an idea of what to expect long term, particularly in relation to the index funds. However, you'll also want to look at the yearly and quarterly returns for the fund, as that will give you a better idea of the volatility of the fund. Kiplinger recommends looking at the fund's worst year or quarter because only you know if you can live with a result like that if it happens again. Fees and expenses. This is probably one of the most difficult sections to analyze, since it's in the fund's best interest for you to not completely understand what fees are in store for you. First, it's important to note that we at PT Money do not recommend buying loaded funds. You can find no-load mutual funds that don't charge an upfront fee, so there's no reason to waste money on a loaded fund. That being said, even no-load mutual funds still have fund expenses, which are paid out of the fund's assets. You can find the information on these expenses in a section generally titled Fees and Expenses. Look for the net annual fund operating expenses, and you'll find the expenses expressed as a percentage. For example, if the listed percentage is 0.97%, you'll pay $9.70 for every $1,000 you have invested in the fund. But remember, you'll pay those operating expenses whether you earn or lose money. Of course, this is not the end of possible fees and expenses. In addition, check to see if there's a section listed as investment advisor and management expenses. This will let you know if there's a performance bonus to the investment manager in years when they outperform their benchmark. That bonus will come from a small percentage of your investment, meaning your net annual operating expenses might be higher than what's listed. Finally, the turnover cost is something that many investors forget to include in their fee calculations. Higher turnover, that is when the manager buys and sells securities more often, can mean additional costs and additional taxes if your fund is in a taxable account. Neil Frankel wrote about the effect of high turnover on mutual fund fees for Get Rich Slowly. Quote, John Bogle of Vanguard fame has spoken about turnover many times. According to his estimate, a 100% turnover adds another full 1% to the cost of the fund. So if, for example, the turnover was 32% last year, we would have to add another 0.32% to the total cost, end quote. While all fees must be disclosed to the investor, it can be very easy to underestimate the fees you will be facing, since it'll take some diligence to find all of those fee disclosures. This is a situation wherein it really pays to do your homework. The bottom line. Reading a prospectus is nothing like enjoying the latest Dan Brown novel. It's generally not something you would choose to read on the beach or anywhere. But taking the time to read through several prospectuses and making certain that you understand exactly what is in store for investors is an excellent investment in yourself. You'll feel better educated about your options and will not be in a position to be paralyzed by indecision or be the victim of a hard sell. That's certainly worth an afternoon of your time. You just listened to the post titled, What to Look For When Reading a Mutual Fund Prospectus by Emily Guy Birkin with ptmoney.com. Have you been using Mint to manage your finances? First, the bad news. Mint is shutting down. And now, the good news. There's a better alternative. Our sponsor, Monarch Money. Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it. Maybe you're saving for a down payment, a wedding, a dream vacation, your kids' college. I've found that Monarch makes it easy to help you reach your financial goals, whatever they are. I definitely wouldn't be able to allocate my finances or plan as clearly without help from Monarch. In fact, Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all of your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, set goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/OFD. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/OFD. That's monarchmoney.com/OFD for your extended 30-day free trial. Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear, upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable. Thanks to Emily for helping us to better understand our investments. While it's true that we should definitely not invest in anything we don't understand, reading a prospectus can be pretty confusing. So I appreciate this outline of the main things to look out for. I also wanted to clarify one point here regarding mutual funds and index funds. According to Investopedia, a mutual fund is a type of financial vehicle made up of a pool of money collected from many investors to invest in securities like stocks, bonds, money market instruments, and other assets. Mutual funds are operated by professional money managers who allocate the fund's assets and attempt to produce capital gains or income for the fund's investors. An index fund is a type of mutual fund that seeks to track the returns of a market index. Because index funds passively track an existing index instead of employing a manager who picks specific stocks to include, they typically have lower fees than actively managed mutual funds. Index funds also tend to generate higher investment returns than actively managed funds. If you recall back to episode 1901, we talked about fees as a percentage of your investment can really eat away at your portfolio over time. So for me, this is the top thing I look at when choosing a mutual fund or index fund in my case. That should do it for another edition of Optimal Finance Daily. I'll be back tomorrow as usual. So I'll see you there on the Wednesday show where your optimal life awaits.